Indeed, it is good to be together to worship on this glorious Easter day. The celebration will continue this month for us. Our children have been working on a great musical on the funniest book in the Bible, which is Jonah. There is a lot of humor in Jonah. Beginning next Sunday, we're going to spend, in Sunday mornings, we're going to listen to the story. And then on the 22nd, the evening, our children will put on a great performance. And so you want to learn about Jonah and share some of the things in that. There's another thing that will happen on that morning of the 22nd. When you come in, the window will be filled with color. Bright, vibrant, deep, rich color. And you will enjoy on the 22nd as we give thanks to God for beauty and celebrate the installation of our new stained glass windows. So, wonderful month of worship coming up, and it's good for us all to be together. The scripture lesson today comes from, begins in the 27th chapter of Matthew, and then moves on to the story. After Jesus was crucified, Joseph took the body and wrapped it in a clean linen cloth and laid it in his own new tomb, which he had hewn in the rock. He then rolled a great stone to the door of the tomb and went away. Mary Magdalene and the other Mary were sitting there opposite the tomb. The next day, that is after the day of preparation, the chief priests and the Pharisees gathered before Pontius Pilate and said, "Sir, we remember that impostor said while he was still alive, 'After 3 days I will rise again.' Therefore, command the tomb to be made secure until the third day. Otherwise, his disciples may go and steal him away and tell the people he's been raised from the dead. And the last deception would be worse than the first." Pilate said to them, "You have a guard of soldiers. Go, make it as secure as you can." So they went with the guard and made the tomb secure by sealing the stone. After Sabbath, as the first day of the week was dawning, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb. And suddenly, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descending from heaven came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, his clothing white as snow. For fear of him, the guards shook and became like dead men. But the angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he has been raised. As he said, come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples, 'He's been raised from the dead, and indeed he's going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him.' This is my message for you." So they left the tomb quickly with fear and great joy and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly Jesus met them and said, "Greetings." And they came to him, took hold of his feet, and worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers, go to Galilee. There they will see me." The word of God for the people of God. Hallelujah, Christ is risen. Christ is risen indeed. Amen. Let us pray. Lord of life, as you raise Jesus to life, raise us to new life. Remove our fear. In Jesus' name, amen. We know that there are some places in the world that are more prone to earthquakes than others. There are those places where those great sort of continent-sized floating tectonic plates come together. And every so often they heave or they shift or they bump. And we know what happens, sadly. The people of Japan in the last months have learned what's happened. When those things shift and there's upheaval. Geologists tell us that Israel, the Holy Land, Jerusalem, is a place on earth that is prone to earthquakes because three of those big tectonic plates come together. The Eurasian plate comes from the north, and coming up from the southwest is the African plate, and then over from the other direction, the southeast, is this Arabian plate. And these three plates come together. So there's always earthquakes there. And things are always falling down. And things that they thought were stable and secure are just tossed aside. And the ground opens up sometime. And people are hurt. And everything has changed. The United States Geological Survey has estimated the possibility, the potential for an earthquake where we live. In our area, in Madison County. And they say it is the longest of long shots. Good. Every so often, you may feel a little rumble. They say there are 100,000 earthquakes east of the Mississippi every year. But most of them are just, you just wonder if that was a jet or something else. But they say, the U.S. Geological Survey, the chances of a devastating earthquake, 6.0 on the Richter scale or more, they said that is, the chances of that happening in the next 100 years is 0 to 0.07%, chance. Just not going to happen. We're not earthquake prone around here. So they say. But there are people, I know, there are people in this room who've had the ground fall out from under them. There are people in this room, there are families in this room that have been shaken to the foundations. And there are people here and people in this room and in this community who have been knocked to the ground, knocked off their feet. And there are a lot of us who have experienced earthquakes that you can't measure on the Richter scale. But what we thought was secure and solid and dependable, it has crumbled around us. Every day, people experience earthquakes, the kind that can't be measured on the Richter scale. Upheaval and changes. Talk to somebody who's lost their job. And they'll say, it felt like an earthquake. Talk to somebody whose marriage has fallen apart, and they'll say, well, it was devastating. It's like an earthquake. Or what about when the diagnosis comes back malignant, or the test comes back positive, or the radiologist tells us, well, there's a shadowy place on the X-ray. And we feel like the earth has opened up and we are in free fall. And or what about when one we love dearly dies, is lost to us in death, and our family landscape is changed forever? It can feel like the world has rolled and rolled over us. Oh, there are earthquakes that happen all the time. You see, anything that happens to us that we cannot control, or that we cannot understand, or that we cannot fix by our best skills and our best engineering, our best medicines, anything we cannot change, anything we cannot manage, that's like an earthquake to us. And what's so scary about it, what makes us fearful, is we are out of control. That's where our fears come from, We're afraid that we will lose control. We cannot manage things. That's the source of our fear, that we're not in control. We're not in charge. And so when we get out of control, where we're not in control, and we get fearful, and we can do crazy things. You know, our addictions to substances and behaviors, that's us just trying to deal with our fear. Our fear of not being in control. And so we can anesthetize ourselves to the fear and the pain. Or we can make everybody else crazy by trying to control them in an uncontrollable situation. We can try to fix them. We can try to tie it down to tamp down the pain. And we can become a pain doing that to others. We can blame others. That's sort of a way to get a hold of an uncontrollable situation. It's not right. I can't fix it, so I can blame somebody. We do that stuff out of fear just to try to get some control when the tremors come. And that brings us to Pontius Pilate in today's story. He was the Roman governor of Palestine, so he was pretty big into control. I mean, that was his job, control these people. He feared more than anything not being in control. And so when Jesus shows up preaching about being loyal to God's kingdom, and his job is to help people be loyal to Caesar's kingdom, he's got a control issue there. And so not only does he execute Jesus after parading him through the streets, not only does he execute him in a painful, public, torturous way, not only does he have him put in that tomb and then has this slab of a stone rolled over it, he brings in masons with cement. And he says, seal that thing. And they not only have the stone there, they mortar that thing in. And not only does he do that, he sets a guard. He sends soldiers with javelins and shields and daggers and swords. You know, he's into control. He's going to get this thing. Of course, there's one thing. Soldiers with shields and swords and as many cubic feet of concrete as you want to pour, they're not much use against an earthquake. And javelins and daggers are not much use against this burst of white light. It's just, that's the only way they describe it in the story. And this angel who comes from God. And these guards are so totally out of control, so totally afraid, it says they drop like dead men from fear. It's that fear because we're not in control. Which brings us to the two Marys, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary. Bless her heart, she in the gospel, it just says the other Mary. Not the mother Mary, just that other Mary. Mary Magdalene is the only, the constant. All four gospels say she was there. But what's interesting is they are not as panicked as the guards. Maybe being women in that culture, they have gotten used to not being in control. But they have no illusions about who's in charge. The Gospels tell us Mary Magdalene was the one who once had seven demons in her life. She had seven forces over which she had no control. She knew about not being in control already. And this was Sunday morning, and they knew what happened on Friday afternoon when they weren't in control. So they have already been through. They've had 3 days of this trauma and this terror of this upheaval, this earthquake, this crucifixion that is beyond their control. They had been to the cemetery the day before yesterday, so they know they're not in control. You wonder, is there anything more that could scare them? And the angel comes, and the angel's first words are, "Do not be afraid." That's the word of the angel. Do not be afraid. Yes, Jesus has been crucified, which was awful, something you couldn't stop. But He has been raised. there is a power greater than the power that put him to death. Go and tell the disciples. And so when Mary and other Mary go and to tell the disciples about the risen Christ, they meet him. It's in the going and the telling that they meet him. And he says to them the same thing. Do not be afraid. Twice in this short little story, the word comes, do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. And that is what Jesus Christ was risen from the dead to tell us. Do not be afraid. We do not have to be afraid. Even though the ground under us does shake sometimes and it shifts, we do not need to be afraid. Even though sometimes we fall and we fail, we fall into the arms of a God who catches us. Even though others might betray us and leave us, there is a God who does not abandon us. And even though this life comes to an end, as it will, there is one who sees us not only to our tomb, but through our tomb to a new life. Our final destination is not our tomb. Death is not the last word. Jesus is the trustworthy witness. Jesus Himself went through every humiliation and fear through which we will go. Everything that could happen to a man or a woman. Betrayal by people you love. Being crushed by the ignorance of the ones, he said, Lord, they don't know what they're doing. Being publicly humiliated and disgraced, being abandoned by all but those few women. He is tortured, he is physically abused, his body is broken in pain, and he experiences this cosmic loneliness when he wonders if even God has forsaken him. But he comes back. In spite of all that happens, he is alive. He is raised from death. He comes back as a trustworthy witness to tell us that the defeat is not the end. Death and evil do not get the last word. And though the ground under us shakes, though the earth quakes, the one who made the earth to begin with is solid. And is dependable. And because Jesus lives, we will live also. And though we die, yet shall we live. And though we are crushed, God will raise us up. And knowing this, we can live. We can live each day without paralyzing fear. We can know that we can live even when we are not in control of everything, and when we cannot fix everything, and when we cannot manage everything, because we know there is one who is trustworthy who is in control. And so, when death comes to those we love, and we can't fix it, we can commend them to a loving God, and they will be well. We cannot fix it, but God can. And then we are able to live with the things we cannot fix, and yet find energy and strength to fix the things that can be fixed, to change the things that can be changed. And free from our fear, we can go and do what God needs us to do. We can go and do the next loving thing. Those two Marys, the risen Jesus tells the two sisters to go and tell the two brothers that he has been raised. Isn't that funny? Kind of ironic. The church for centuries and centuries been afraid of women preachers. And that didn't scare Jesus at all, did it? And the women are not afraid. It's when they go and tell that they find even more strength. They're the ones who are sent to go and tell that Jesus is alive and that the risen Christ goes before us. So, what that means is there is no place we can go that He is not already there. There is no fearful place, no frightening place that we can find ourselves so that He is not there. That means we can live fearless lives, death-defying lives, secure in this God who will hold us up. I read a prayer this week I like a lot. Richard Rohr wrote it. He said, "I thank You, Lord Jesus, for becoming human so I do not have to pretend or try to be God. Thank You, Lord Jesus, for becoming finite and limited so I do not have to pretend that I am infinite and limitless. I thank You, crucified God, for becoming mortal, so I do not have to make myself immortal. Thank You, Jesus, for becoming inferior, so I do not have to pretend that I am superior to anyone. Thank You for being crucified outside the walls, for being expelled and excluded like the sinners and the outcasts, so You can meet me where I am when I feel that I am worthless." And I would add, "Thank You, Lord Jesus, that I do not have to raise myself up to new life, for by Your power, You do that for me. Thanks be to God." And that is why when I say Christ is risen, you can say, "Christ is risen indeed." Amen. Let us say together the ancient words of affirmation of our faith in the resurrection. It's the Apostles' Creed. You'll find it printed in the worship guide. Would you stand? Let us say together, "I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day He rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence He shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen." People of God, go into the world without fear. Go and live fearless lives, death-defying lives. Go into the world to change all that can be changed and so that it matches the kingdom of our Lord established by the one we love as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Alleluia, Christ is risen. Christ is risen indeed.